welcome. As Justin mentioned, my name is Jordan Martin, and my wife and I, we have six kids. We live out in the village of Ruby, out in the Yukon. So we're like just central interior. But as Justin mentioned, yeah, we are candidating to see if the Lord would have us to move down here to be part of a church plant. And I'll just be me. It's what I try to do because that's just who I am. But, you know, I did the first service, and, you know, I think it went well. With the second service, you know, if you've been here for the first service, I guess I'll say, well, you're in for a surprise because I never do the same thing twice. Like, I really admire Justin, how he can follow his notes, and I wish I was more like that, but that's not who I am. But I also appreciate who I am, and so I've learned to appreciate that. But, yeah, so you'll never get the same thing twice from me. And so, yeah, Justin, you do a good job. But anyways, yeah, we're candidating to be part of this church plant. And the whole message today we're going to be talking about is following God. Okay? We are not saying we are sold and this is where the Lord wants us. Like, we don't know, right? You guys, as a church, don't know. But what we are doing is saying, Lord, you have put this in our heart, and Lord, you have revealed different things to us to potentially be a part of it. And so we're just taking those steps of faith and saying, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? How are you going to make this work? And so the message is, in a sense, is, okay, following God, following God's leading. How do you know God is leading you somewhere? How do you guys know? What do you guys do at home? Do you guys write like a pro and cons list? I remember my wife and I, we used to do that about everything when we were first married, you know? Yeah, here's the pros and cons, and the cons outweigh the pros, and so we don't do that, right? Or you get a spidey, tingly feeling, you know? And you're like, yep, that's what we should do. Or the cloud, you know, showed you. And you go towards it. That's how you know what to do. You know, my story is I used to be a builder, and it was really through working with guys that, you know, I realized, man, I want my life to be more about sharing Jesus with them than building all the time. Like, I felt really fulfilled in that. And during that time, you know, I was like, okay, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I realized, man, I don't really know much about the Bible either. And so I went to my pastor, I met with him, and we sought out different Bible schools and different ways to get into ministry, and all of them really didn't kind of work. I'm like, that just with four kids at the time, affordability, job, it just wouldn't happen. And so there was a young couple hitchhiking right by our church, and our pastor picked them up. And our pastor picked them up, they're driving, and they drive past our church, and they said, oh, we're actually members of New Tribes Mission, we're missionaries in Brazil, can we come share at your church? And here he is picking them up to evangelize, and they end up being missionaries. But long story short, they come to our church, and they share about unreached people groups, right? Becoming, understanding culture, worldviews, kind of some of the challenges I had, you know, as I was sharing God's word kind of within the guys I worked with. And so right away, I'm like, hey, Lord, this is what we're going to do. But did I really know if God was leading us in that direction? You know, I really didn't know. But once I took that, it was like a huge step of faith for us. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I had never left my hometown. You know, like our church became our family. And I pretty much cried all the way to Wisconsin. But, you know, we're just trusting the Lord to see if that's his leading for us, but we really didn't know. But once we got there, like we saw God provide for us tremendously. I mentioned this in the first service. At the school's loss, but my gain, as the school had hired a contractor to do a big flat rubber roof. They took the down payment, and then they took off. And so then the school said, hey, you know, because I've already been hanging out with the maintenance guys, because that's who I mingle with. And they said, hey, well, I actually told them, I said, hey, I'll finish that roof for you. And they said, well, okay, we'll give you a shot. And so I ended up finishing that roof, and then I ended up working for the Bible school for 2 years at that Bible school, you know, doing maintenance. My point is like, you don't fully really know where God is leading until you make an action, right? You have to take a step. You have to move in a direction. And just like we can trust God to open doors, we can trust God knowing that he closes doors as well. You know, I'm sure, I know we got some Mark Ayers, some different people here. You know, we thank you for coming up to Ruby. Appreciate you guys. You know, some of you guys have been in missions as well, and you really don't know what the Lord is doing until you make a step, right? Is this where the Lord is really calling me? You know, you don't know until you do. And so that's kind of my theme for today is, man, to know God's leading, to know his will, you have to make an action. How many of you guys like to read the Bible? But raise the hands. Well, first service had more hands up. Come on. Let's see. All right, one more time. Who likes to read their Bible? All right. Still not as good as first service. Just kidding. But not really. Well, good. You know, as I was preparing, I'm a people person, and I've enjoyed this week getting to know you guys, but part of my problem was I spent a lot of time getting to know you guys, and so that means less time to prepare for church, you know, prepare for service. And so I kind of started in direction. It was okay, I got to stick with it, and so we're going to be in Acts chapter 10 if you want to turn your Bible there, but the reason I asked why you love, you know, if you like to read your Bible and had you raise your hands is because we're going to be reading the whole chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 10 is kind of a long chapter. But you said you love the Bible, you said you love to read it, and you put your hands up, most of you, first service is better, but you did it, and so when we get there, we'll follow along. But, you know, Acts chapter 10, in the book of Acts, is really a big deal. You know, really, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 15. Jesus, right before he ascended, he said what? He said, go to Judea, go to Samaria, go to the ends of the earth, right? How are the apostles and disciples doing? Good or bad? So far, not so good, right? They haven't listened. They went to Judea. You know, they went to their buddies, just like when I was a builder, I'd sit with builders. They hung out with their fellow Jews, and they went to the Samaritans, so they went to the half-Jews. That was all right. I can go that far. But they still have not gone to the Gentiles. And so God has been trying to lead them to go to the Gentiles, but they haven't been listening. God told them, right? Go to Judea, go to Samaria, go to the ends of the earth. And in Acts chapter 10, we see this big shift where the gospel goes to the Gentiles. And so if you would, you turn with me here. And the, you know, why I kind of went here is God was leading this guy Cornelius and Peter directly at this instance in Acts chapter 10 to head to the Gentiles. But they had to take these steps of faith. They had to move. And as they moved, they understood what God's will was for them. That's it. I guess we'll just close it up. I told you the end. So, you said you love the Bible. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So this guy Cornelius, he's a Roman soldier. He's responsible for 100 soldiers. Says he gives money to the poor. He was a devout man. He loved God. And in about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision, an angel of God coming to him and saying, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? For he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come as a memorial offering to God. So this angel comes to Cornelius and he says, man, God has heard your prayers. God knows all things. He knows you've been giving to the poor. He knows your heart. So he gives him some instructions, and he says, well, now send men to Joppa. Send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is near the sea. He will tell you what you must do. So here's Cornelius, a man who loves God, loves his neighbor, right? He's following the Shema, in a sense. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, and mind. But there's still a problem. What's the problem? He doesn't know who Jesus is yet, right? He doesn't know that Jesus has died for him and that through Christ alone we have the remission of sins. And God is going to make sure that Cornelius hears this message. And so, verse 7. And when the angel spoke to him, he had departed. Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier, from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had examined all these things to them, explained all these things, he sent them to Joppa. So now Cornelius is sending his best men to find out this message, whatever it may be, to this guy Peter's house. Now remember, Acts chapter 10, remember this, 10 and 10. It's been 10 years since Jesus ascended. It's been 10 years, and the early church hasn't followed the Great Commission of going to all nations. They've just been sticking in their region. And so, now God is going to kind of shake Peter and say, come on, dude, time to wake up. Verse 9, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up unto his house to pray. It was about the sixth hour. He became very hungry, and he wanted to eat, but while they were made ready, he fell in a trance, and he saw heaven open up and something like a great sheep bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. A voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter must be awfully hungry. Fell into his trance, he's asleep, and he's dreaming about food. But Peter said, no, Lord, for I have never eaten anything uncommon or unclean. Even in his dream, he's like, no, I can't eat that, Lord. It wasn't a dream, right? It was a vision from God. But a voice spoke to him a second time. He says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So Peter all of a sudden gets this vision of pigs in a blanket coming down, right? He's in this trance. He's praying. He's fasting, hungry. And the Lord is sending him this vision, right? You know, Levitical law says that he could not eat these certain unclean animals, right? It would defile him. And then, therefore, he would have to do other things to become clean again. And Peter doesn't understand what's going on, but he's saying, you know, Lord, no, I'm not going to partake in this. Verse 17, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had sent meant, behold, men who were sent from Cornelius had just made inquiry for Simon's household and stood there before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, hey, behold, three men are seeking for you. So I don't know if it's coincidence or has any intended meaning, but it seems to be how God works. Peter has three visions of the pigs in a blanket, and God sends three Gentile men. The angel speaks to him and says, arise, therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come? Like, why has this guy Cornelius brought you guys here? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, he is a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among the nations and the Jews. And the divine God, instructed by the holy angel, to summon you to his house and to hear the word from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So these men from Caesarea, they come to Peter's house, and Peter's starting to think, what is this vision? And say, you know, the divine, God himself, has spoken to Cornelius that you have something to tell him. Verse 24, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up and said, stand up, for I myself am only a man. And as he was talking with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then they said to him, "You know how unlawful it is for the Jews to keep company with one another nations," right? He's saying, Peter's going into the house of the Jews and associating with them. He's like, man, you know this is against our culture. You know this is against the law, in a sense. And God is going to reveal this vision. Now remember, you rose your hand. You said, I love the Bible. I know it's a lot of reading, but stick with me. This is the big part where kind of Peter, the lights turn on about this vision. He says, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Right? This is what this whole pigs in a blanket was about. God does not show partiality. God does not show favoritism. God has been seeking to save the Gentiles, but the early church so far has not been going. He says, therefore, man, I came without any objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. It is interesting. Peter says he was hungry, so he must have been in a fasting state. Cornelius says he was fasting and praying. Both of them are fasting and praying when the Lord speaks to him. He says, I prayed in my house, and behold, the man stood before me in bright clothes and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms have been remembered in the sight of God. He said, therefore, send for Joppa, called Simon. Let me start that over. Send therefore to Joppa, called Simon, here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the household of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent you to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear the things that God has commanded you. Right? Cornelius, he's like, just pumped. Okay, Lord, you came to me in a vision. You came to me, you know, the angel came to me. I could physically see him. Man, we've been waiting for this message. What is it? Right? And Cornelius isn't just there by himself. What does he do too? He's got his family there. He's got all his friends around him. Verse 34, then it says, then Peter opened up his mouth and said, in truth, I show that God shows no partiality. It's hard for you and I. Like, we can't grasp this, right? And there is a little bit of, we do have some cultural different things we do struggle with. Just as a white guy who lives in a village, I'll just say it, right? But God is saying, no, God doesn't show partiality. He doesn't show favoritism. There is no greater or less. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. God loves everybody the same. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The words which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Right? Peter is just giving him this gospel message. He says, that word you know which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. You remember when Jesus was baptized, what happened? God spoke, right? And God says, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. This is God himself, Peter is saying. And God is pleased to send him, who went about doing good and healing all the oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all these things. He's like, dude, Cornelius, I'm not just making this up. I didn't just hear it from a bro. You're right. This wasn't just from my friend. I saw these things with my own eyes. Not only did we see him killed, we saw him resurrected. We are witnesses of all these things, whom they killed by hanging him on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day, and they showed him openly, not to all people, right? Not everybody saw this, but to the witnesses whom God had chosen. God chose certain men to reveal Jesus to when he was around. And there was, you know, hundreds of them, a lot of men. To us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he came up and commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witnessed through his name, even believers in him. Sorry. Let me just do the Jordan words. I'm better at that. He's saying, hey, even the prophets in the Old Testament, this is who they were speaking about, this Jesus. This is the one who the Bible or the prophets were predicting. And then Peter goes on to say, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sin. Now, in Peter's mind, like, this is a big deal. Okay, I'm going to talk to a Gentile man and tell him that whoever, this is a big deal for him. That's right. Peter's lights are going on from that vision of pigs in the blanket. Whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sin. Whoever believes, their sins are removed. And it says, while Peter was speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who heard were astonished. And many came with Peter because the gift of the Holy Spirit had poured out on the Gentiles. All the Jews in that room at that time, they're like, wait, hang on. The Holy Spirit is falling onto the Gentiles? They remember, like in Acts chapter 2, when they're up in the upper room, they receive the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. And they're like, wait, God really does not show any partiality. God has chosen that the gospel would go to all men. And the Holy Spirit is this witness to them. Man, what Peter is saying is true. For they heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay there for a few days. I know it was a lot of reading, and like as I was preparing, I thought about that, and I apologize in a sense, but here, you know, we started off trying to understand following God's leading, right? And we really don't know God's leading until we make a move. As I kind of talked about in my life, it wasn't until I started going certain directions where God provided. Well, it's the same with Peter. Peter was told in the early church there to go into all the world and make disciples, but they didn't really think that they were to go into the whole world. Like, really, do you mean I go into the Gentile part? But once God started saying, no, follow my leading, and once they actually saw the Holy Spirit fall upon the Gentiles, right? They knew that that was the direction that they were supposed to go. And this is this whole new transition, this whole new shift in the book of Acts. You know, we like to call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit revealing God's plan for man. You know, you get into Acts chapter 15, then they start having the Jerusalem Council, and they're like, wait, do we still have to keep the law or not, Paul, right? And Paul says, no. We don't have to keep the law. You are justified by faith and faith alone. There's these big transitions. But this big transition here is, man, they're realizing, man, the gospel is for the Gentiles. So what are some things we can learn from Peter here? Number one, I'd say, God leads by prayer. What was it that Cornelius and Peter were doing? They were praying, right? They were fasting, and not just like a drive-by prayer, you know, let me just throw it out there, Lord. You know, they were really intentional in praying, so much so where Peter is in this trance, right? Cornelius is taking it serious while he's fasting. And so if we want to know God's leading, now we should spend time in prayer, spend time fasting. The next thing I want to ask is, we need to be willing to change direction, right? How do we know God's leading? Sometimes we need to change direction. Peter thought he was going one way. Okay, I'm only going to bring the gospel to the Jews, maybe the Samaritans. But God had to open up his mind and say, no, you're to go to the Gentiles as well. And so sometimes with us too, right, we need to be willing to change direction, right? We can trust that God will open doors or shut doors. And I mentioned the earlier service, and I said maybe I'm stepping in it, but like this was like a theological issue, in a sense, for Peter, right? He thinks theologically that I should not be associating with the Gentile. And sometimes we have certain presuppositions that we're holding on to, right, and that we claim to, we identify with, just like the Jew would. And sometimes we need to change our mind, and we need to be okay with that. We need to learn, we need to grow. Right, that's what the whole early church is about, is this, really, this spiritual maturity, this growing and understanding God and what God is calling them to do and following their leading. Lastly, I'd say we need to follow God, not man. If you go to Acts chapter 11, the next part, what happens is Peter's buddy walk in and they say, dude, what were you doing? You were eating with the Gentiles? And Peter's like, well, hang on, I got an answer for that. God came to me in a vision. And they're like, yeah, sure. No, really. God came to me in a vision, and these guys received the Holy Spirit. Like, it must be true. You know, I used to be a builder, and so as I was going through Bible school, mission training, different things, you know, everybody used to say, oh, you should be a builder because that's what you do. And I had to say no a lot and keep pursuing what I felt like the Lord was leading. And this is just totally a joke, but first service was better, and so maybe I should have been a builder. Yeah, I really give credit to Justin and to anybody who shares twice. It's not the same. I'm the type of person, like, whenever I preach or teach, it's from the heart, and that's hard to duplicate. You know, I move this around like I have my notes. It's very minuscule with my very nice pencil writing. Well, anyways, the whole point and what I want you guys to at least take away with, how do you know God's leading? Maybe God is leading you in a certain direction. Maybe God is asking you to change careers. I don't know. Or adopt a kid. Whatever. I have no idea. But you guys know. Maybe the Lord is leading you to do something. And how do you know it's the Lord's will to do this thing? You don't. Right? You really don't. God does give us signs. God does, you know, start to lead us in a certain direction. But we don't know until we take steps forward, right? Once you take those steps of faith, it's always the afterwards. It's always when you look back and you say, okay, God, I see you leading. I see you doing this. I see you doing that. But God puts it in our court to take that chance and take that step of faith to walk forward. And so I just pray that you guys would, whatever it may be, wherever the Lord's leading, follow God's leading, take those steps, don't be afraid. You know, I remember being at church potlucks and different things, and people always say, I don't know how you can be a missionary or things like that. And I'm like, that's so scary. I'm like, I don't even think about it. It's not hard. Like, my first initial step, moving from Massachusetts to Wisconsin to go to Bible school, man, that was scary. That was hard. But then after that, how I've seen God provide over and over and over, I don't even think about it. I don't like, shouldn't admit this, but I do. Haven't looked at my bank account in over 10 years. I trust my wife. I trust the Lord. I know it's good. Well, let's end there. So let me pray. Father God, I just pray that whatever our situations are, Lord, you are leading every one of us to different paths. Lord, you know them. I don't. And Lord, I just pray that you would give peace to us as we try to follow your direction. Lord, that you would help us to take these steps of faith to see what your will is for us in our lives. And Lord, help us to trust you, then knowing that you are a God who opens doors and you are a God who closes doors. And so the only wrong move we can make is not moving. And so, Lord, I just pray for this church as they're considering church planning. Lord, that you would lead and guide them. Lord, that you would open those doors, and Lord, that you would close those. And Lord, I just pray for this body here. Lord, I pray for unity. It is a spiritual battle, and Satan likes to destroy, and he likes to create division. And so, Father, I pray for unity for this body here today. In Jesus' name, amen.